Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
It is the perfect time of year for betting. And of course, BetOnline has you covered. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. With March Madness upon us, into the Final Four we go. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Believe in Clippers podcast. Jesse Cass and Alex Acker back with you here with so much to talk about on the Believe in Clippers podcast. Of course, the trade deadline last week, the Clippers' recent win streak that came to an end the other night, but still looking really good recently. And of course, more transactional news with potentially DeMarcus Cousins in the fold. So a lot to talk about for the Clippers and what's going on with them. Alex, what's going on? How you doing?
All right, doing good, man. Doing really good, Jess.
Yeah, and it's been, as we said, it's been an eventful last week or so for the Clippers. And of course, I think we have to start at the trade deadline for, you know, obviously just one move for the Clippers, but a significant one at that, with Lou Williams, you know, a fan favorite, someone who's meant a lot to the organization, being shipped out, and the team bringing in Rajon Rondo to try to help them for their playoff push. So just first impressions, what did you think of the trade? You know, what you're losing in Lou Williams, what you're gaining in Rondo, what are your thoughts on the deal?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely got to say this for the most part. You know, I'm a big Lou fan, you know, just for him always being a true competitor, you know, and a leader coming off the bench. He could be a starter anywhere on the planet of basketball, you know what I mean, that plays basketball. But he's an unbelievable scorer and a great talent, man. And the Clippers would definitely be missing him for what he brought to the table, for sure. But I think they're going with a situation where they need, you know, a leadership where the point guard is not going to be as far as not so much shaky, but it's more of a mentorship of getting these guys geared and ready for getting over that hump that we normally talk about throughout the course of that Clipper tragic war that hits every now and then, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, on both ends of it, on the Lou Williams side of it, it was a really interesting trade because it was at the time when it's announced, it's a little bit of a gut punch just from how much, you know, I know personally I've loved watching Lou. I know you've said the same, and I think most of Clipper Nation agrees with that. And just knowing what he's meant to the team and how much the team meant to him, you know, he didn't want to be traded. He had talked about, you know, thinking about retiring instead of going somewhere else, but, you know, ended up getting traded back home to Atlanta, which he was comfortable with. So it was tough. And this team and organization owes a lot to Lou Williams for kind of that transitional period when they moved on from Blake Griffin, you know, didn't really know what the identity was. That was really built by Lou Williams and, of course, Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell at the time. So, you know, Lou Williams helped this franchise kind of turn that corner, become attractive again, stay competitive, and, you know, the team owes a lot to him. So that part of it was definitely tough. And then, like you said, you still see the rationale for it with Rondo, who granted has struggled in the regular season, but we've seen it as recently as last playoffs, where he made a huge dramatic impact on the Lakers and them winning the championship. So the Clippers are obviously hopeful that they get playoff Rondo, that version of Rondo and the player that he is, and that he can provide, you know, a lot of those intangible things, like you said, leadership, his passing ability, you know, more defensive prowess. So you get the move. You know, I think it's a good one, but it's also it's a tough one to swallow for sure.
No, for sure, for sure. And we know definitely as a veteran standpoint, you're just definitely telling your team, just get me to the playoffs and I'll do the rest, you know, from that standpoint. So Rajon Rondo at his best is in the playoff mode, you know what I mean? And that's when he locks in. He's more serious and taking things as an attribute as far as winning a championship. And that's the number one goal that these Clippers have in their back of their mind, you know. So all or nothing right now. So they definitely need somebody that's been there that can actually lead them along the way and figuring out how to get over these things, that obstacles that they need to, for sure.
Yeah, and we've seen the Clippers' offense this year has been really phenomenal. They're, I think, just overtook the Nets for the best offense in the league and is on pace for, you know, statistically the best offense of all time right now. So they're clearly, you know, they're humming along. But, you know, we've seen these stretches in games, you know, one of them recently or the other night against the Magic, which I don't know if you can put a whole lot of stock into because they were so shorthanded and fatigued from a lot of games in a row. But, you know, in those games where the offense stagnates a little bit, or, you know, it seems like the players are getting a little tense, having another guy who's been there, who can orchestrate things, I think helps a lot. And, you know, I don't necessarily think the Clippers needed a point guard, but to have one who kind of has that pedigree and awareness, I think can only help the team rather than hurt it with what Rondo has proven that he can provide through pretty much every playoff experience he's been in, no matter what team. He's had a, you know, big impacts in the playoffs.
Yeah, big impact. Every team he's been on, you know, Boston, the Lakers for sure, it's going to be huge, you know what I mean? I think the shenanigans of the old Rondo have been a character, you know what I mean, outside of basketball, is out the window, you know what I mean? And he's more, you know, well-equipped in understanding how to go about things, you know what I mean? So I think the energy and drive right now is just focusing on making sure he's healthy, most importantly, you know, as a veteran, and he's ready to actually compete at the highest level possible in the playoffs and winning that chip.
Yeah, and you mentioned something important there, which of course is important for every team, but I feel like it's amplified with the Clippers, and that's health. You know, Rondo right now hasn't played yet. You know, he's had a little stomach adductor injury that he's recovering from, but he should be back soon. But it's kind of been the story for the Clippers for many different years in the past, including this one as well, where injuries are a huge part of it. And we look at it right now, obviously Patrick Beverley and Serge Ibaka have been out for a couple weeks. You know, it doesn't seem like Ibaka's that close. Beverley seems like he should be getting back soon. You know, Paul George has missed the last two games. Marcus Morris has missed 2 out of 3. Kawhi missed one last week. So, you know, these are all really key guys. And we've heard even in the past, you know, Doc Rivers echo this, that you got to get a little lucky sometimes to win in the playoffs. And I think that's what he means, is you got to have your full team ready and healthy, and hopefully for the Clippers, you know, these injuries they're dealing with now can heal up and they can be full strength going into the playoffs.
No, for sure, for sure. I'm a man that played basketball with no excuses. You know what I mean? I would play basketball with one ear and you know, half a nostril breathing out. But think of the whole situation as far as the bubble, how, you know, random it just came and everybody's playing basketball to that standpoint, and how fast, you know, basketball's came in this year, you know what I mean? It was a little window for everybody to even, like, get a breathing room of a vacation or a relaxing moment. They had to get right back into playing mode, you know what I mean, for that standpoint. The Los Angeles Lakers and Miami Heat, for instance, you know what I mean? They just came right back within 4 weeks, and now they're playing a full 82-game season. So it's coming to a point where it didn't catch you then, it's going to catch you up now, you know what I mean? And the way you go about it is you have to play your young guys. You know, you have to really have that leadership. And I see the Clippers actually leading towards that now, getting these guys some minutes, you know. So that's the beautiful thing about it right now, is the young guys are stepping up and doing a great job and leading the way as much as possible.
Yeah, and to your point about the Lakers and the Heat, obviously they've both had tons of injury issues as well. With the Lakers, of course, without LeBron and AD for quite a while right now. But on the young aspect of things, it's really refreshing, honestly, for the Clippers, because we've seen, you know, here and there they've had a player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander who's just that talented, or he's going to be good no matter what. But, you know, player development has been an issue for this team in the past. I think that's why they brought in guys like Kenny Atkinson and Chauncey Billups and Dan Craig, and it clearly is having an immediate impact. You give all the credit to the players themselves, but the staff is clearly helping them along in the development and the rapid progression for Terrence Mann in particular. I know Luke Kennard is stepping up big now. He's playing a lot better, but Amir Coffey as well. But we really look at Terrence Mann, and we talked about at length early, you know, before the season, what he could develop into, and all of a sudden it seems to have clicked for him. He's looked extremely good. What have you seen from Terrence Mann that has impressed you in this recent stretch?
Man, I think Terrence Mann always had that tenacity and that drive to actually proving himself. You know what I mean? Coming from Florida State, he always had a chip on his shoulder, you know, knowing that he can actually play at this level. So I didn't see no fear in this guy's eyes when I seen him, you know, in the summer league, all the way up until this point now, as far as last year as well, too. He's a dog, man. He wants to compete at the highest level. He's picking guys up, you know. You see him playing against, you know, Doncic, you know, going full speed, doesn't care about, you know, the name on the back of his jersey at all. He's trying to prove himself and stay on that court as much as possible. So I'm a big fan of Terrence for sure. And I always said that. I know you're a fan of it too, Jess. And we're cheering for him every minute that he gets. We know that he's going to give something on that court. You know what I mean? And that's definitely heart and a drive of actually just competing, you know. So you can always expect that to happen every single night and game when he steps on that court.
Yeah, no question. And I think that for Terrence, a lot of the pressure was taken off of him when he wasn't necessarily pegged to this year to be as much of a point guard as the Clippers tried to force him to be last year. And ironically, as that happens, he's now making some great plays with the ball in terms of his passing and playmaking. So without the pressure of the point guard, it seems like his game has been able to flourish. It's just a slashing wing who can also create for others. And you throw in the fact that he's, you know, on top of his defense, on top of his finishing at the rim, he's starting to knock down the three-point shot and not hesitate on those shots. And it's really opened up the floor for him and his teammates with his ability to find them. So I think, you know, there's so many things that have been impressive about Terrence Mann, but his rise was, I think, in large part due to why the Clippers felt comfortable, you know, in a trade where they dealt someone like Lou Williams, where they had another young option who's proven he can score now, make plays for others. So I think that, along with what Rondo brings, was a reason the Clippers felt comfortable with, you know, Mann, Kennard stepping up, what Rondo can bring, that they saw the development in these young players and that knew that, you know, that could be something that could be helpful for them going forward.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. With a guy like Mann's too, I mean, his length and his height, it was a great idea to actually play him at point guard, just to see the awareness of where the court is at, where guys are going to be at, and getting a feel for having the ball in your hand. And that was a great toolish to have him playing the point guard. So now he's more comfortable playing any position because he knows where guys are going to be at and where to actually, you know, see the guys when the help is coming and stuff like that. I remember when Detroit picked me up, I was definitely not ready to play point guard, but they made me a point guard. And I wanted to play two guard, but I had to bring the ball and play point guard. But it helped me so much of knowing where guys were going to be at and where the positions that are at and where you get your shots at and stuff. And then when I actually came back the second year and playing my rightful position as the two guard, as a wing, the game became a lot smoother for me, a lot fluent, and a lot more poise. And that's what I'm seeing in T-Man right now. It's like a lot more poise, and he's not rushing, you know, situations. He's really taking things that are happening, and he's really aggressive when he's getting that rock and shooting the ball with 100% confidence and no twitching his shot at all or setback. He's not trying to knock every single shot down. So that's the thing that I love about it for sure. You can see it any.
Yeah, he's been really impressive and a huge bright spot for the Clippers. And what has been, I don't want to call it a turnaround because they've been a good team all year long, but you know, there was that stretch for about a month, you know, 6 weeks, whatever it was, where, you know, the Clippers hadn't won two in a row. They would trade off wins and losses and seemed to be just trying to find their identity and their footing. And I think we finally saw what hopefully is a turning point. You know, the Clippers have been playing really well over the past couple of weeks in particular, but you look back to that Atlanta game on March 22nd. They had just come off a pretty easy win against the Hornets. You know, they got off to a hot start against the Hawks and then completely, you know, kind of lost their aggressiveness and their footing, went down by 22 And Tyronn Lue made the decision to pull all of his starters out of the game. He went with a lineup that featured, who we just talked about, Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, some of the other guys off the bench, and it really sparked the team, not only in that game, where they came back to win on a furious run in the third and fourth quarter, but since then. They went on to, you know, extend that win streak to six games in a row with wins over the Spurs, the Sixers, the Bucks going away. These are games the Clippers were still shorthanded in as well. That win streak came to an end against Orlando on the second end of a back-to-back when they were missing a bunch of guys, but I don't think that undermines how impressive this stretch has been and kind of how big that moment was in the Atlanta game to seemingly kind of make something click for the Clippers in what they have to do and how they have to play.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. No, that was just a stepping stone to, like, listen, guys, you guys suck right now. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be honest with you guys, suck. It happens. You know what I mean? I've seen it happen before where the coach really is like, all right, you guys are not getting it done. I'm gonna give somebody that is going to get it done, and that's literally just, if we lose, we're gonna lose with heart. And Tyronn Lue actually pulled the plug on everybody. You know what I mean? They was playing awful, really bad, you know, from that standpoint. So I think it was a great decision for him to do that. Just letting them know that, you know what I mean, that we can't be playing like this, for sure, you know. And I think that was the best thing for them from that standpoint. They've been cooking on all cylinders. So I think that was a great play for Tyronn Lue to actually step in and give them, like, yo, this is not going to happen if we're playing doo-doo, terrible.
I know, and you know, it's obviously not all directly related to Terrence Mann, but I think there are certain things that he's done that have helped the Clippers in specific areas of need, where you talk about his downhill attack, getting inside. He's helped them get to the free throw line more, which we discussed in previous weeks that they really need to do. He's helped with their defense. And then, of course, you throw in, you know, Kawhi doing his normal thing, being dominant, but also the addition of Zubats into the starting lineup with Ibaka hurt. Zubats has been great, and especially for the team's defense and rebounding, you know, really in the past couple weeks as the lone center on the roster has been holding it down big time. And we've seen not only more free throw attempts, but defensively in this past couple week stretch, the Clippers number one in the league after having struggles throughout the year. So we've talked about their defensive potential. We're starting to finally see that kind of form itself as well. So that's been really nice to see.
No, for sure. I think so, for sure. And the kind of guy, and the kind of teams they're playing right now, it's not so much as far as the talent that's going to win. It's the heart, you know what I mean? And these guys that you just mentioned, as far as Zubac and Mann, they got the heart to overcome that. And, you know, they always say hard work beats talent every day, for sure. If you're not going to be, the talented one out there and you're not going to play with heart, people that are underdogs are going to, you know what I mean, take over, you know. So you got to have that mixture of guys that could actually lead the way, like Terrence and Zubac, that will give them that extra statistics that's not shown on the stat sheet, you know what I mean, of hustle plays and stuff like that that's needed to get over those things as far as getting those wins and turning things around.
Yeah, and when you think about the Clippers and what made them attractive in kind of those in-between years we talked about with Lue was really the grittiness and heart that they played with. And, you know, they still have, of course, Patrick Beverley. They got Marcus Morris. They've got, as we said, Mann and Zubats. And, you know, some guys that will definitely bring it on any given night. And when you combine that with the ultra-talented people who also work hard, like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, you know, you need both elements of it to really be a championship team or a team with championship aspirations. And, you know, when this team puts it all together, you can see that it's just about doing it consistently. And over the past couple weeks, we've finally seen it in a consistent fashion where, like you said, they've played some tough teams, some teams that have had lower records, but regardless, the effort has been the same. You know, the win over Milwaukee was one of the better ones of the year. They were, again, very shorthanded, ended up, you know, blowing them out down the stretch, and that's without Paul George, without Beverley, without Ibaka, but, you know, as you said, other guys, Terrence Mann, Luke Kennard, Zubats, they all, Marcus Morris, they all stepped up and really, you know, showed just how deep this team can be when they're at full strength.
That's love. Yeah, that's true. Definitely.
Want to give a brief moment to talk about our newest sponsor, eBay. Whether dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair that you've been eyeing. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity, and it also protects sellers with a verified return process. And for the sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers of $100 or more, making it free to sell or flip your collection. Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. I don't relax well. That's what a lot of people say. And with life being especially crazy right now, it's just hard for you to shut off your brain and chill. You overthink and get easily stressed out, and it sucks. So I did the homework for you and found out that Sunday Scaries are the perfect solution. They're delicious and vitamin-boosted CBD gummies. They become a must-have in your daily routine, and they can chill you out in just about 20 minutes. Basically, they help you take the edge off so you can maintain your composure and live scare-free. And there's no risk to buy. The company offers a 100% lifetime money-back guarantee. If the product's not for you, that's okay. You'll get your money back. Sunday Scaries in the stress-relieving business, not the stress-causing business. I got you 25% off. To prove it, visit sundayscaries.com and use my promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your discount. That's promo code BELIEVE for 25% off at sundayscaries.com. They're effing amazing, and you won't regret joining their squad. Playoff rotation and depth is one of them. And before we get to that exactly, the news that came out today, he still has to clear health and safety protocols, but Clippers look like they're going to sign DeMarcus Cousins to a 10-day contract. Whether they sign him, you know, for the rest of the year is still up to be seen. But, you know, at least in the meantime, with Serge Ibaka still out, you mentioned Zubat's really the only center. There is a need there for another big man. So what are your thoughts on Cousins, who's clearly had a lot of injuries, still super talented, especially on the offensive end? Don't know what he can do defensively, but someone who's clearly a talented player, has a relationship with Rondo and Patrick Patterson. What are your thoughts on DeMarcus Cousins and what he can bring to the team, if anything?
It might sound weird, but it's this, the disruptiveness, you know what I mean? I think the he's going to be the elephant in the room, the guy that's not going to be shy to say certain things that need to be said, that probably that everybody's thinking. You know what I mean? He's going to actually put that fire in people and make them play at a higher standard than what they're playing. You know what I mean? So he brings that out of people, just off of a vocal standpoint. Rajon Rondo is one character that does the same thing. You know what I mean? So if you got somebody in the front court and the back court that's pushing you, like these two gentlemen, you're going to see some things that come out of you that you knew that was that. That you knew that can come out, but at the same time, it's going to be some fire that's coming up. People that on both ends, offense and defense, you know. So to have somebody like that, as far as DeMarcus Cousins on your team, man, that's some great energy. You know what I mean? That's some really great energy. You know, so I see that's going to be one of the most main characters that's going to really take over if he's healthy as well too. We see him struggling a lot with his health. Just having him understand what kind of atmosphere that he's coming into is key, and what the goal is, the main targeting goal. And I think he has that same attribute. I don't think he would come in and win nothing less than more than winning a championship for sure.
Yeah, and I think even before the signing of Cousins, one of the things Lawrence Frank mentioned when he was asked about the buyout market was kind of what you're alluding to. Someone who can come in and perform, but also accept their role if there's someone who's going to come in and they're not necessarily going to play a lot. And while Cousins, I'm sure, rightfully for himself, feels like he's still, you know, a star-level player because he's been that, we have seen in recent years, you know, he's been willing to accept his role, whether it was in Houston, whether it was with the Lakers last year. You know, he hasn't really complained about his minutes. And I think with him being around guys that he's familiar with, like Rondo and Patterson, as we said, and a couple of other guys, like you said, he wants that goal of winning a championship. So I don't think his minutes will necessarily be huge, kind of similar to what we saw last year with Joakim Noah. He'll just be another presence and, you know, kind of plug and play. But in terms of a spark, I think it's worth a shot. And as you said, if he is healthy, offensively. He can give you a lot. He can help you in the rebounding department. So I think it's a worthwhile risk. And like you said, if it's a 10-day and for whatever reason it feels like it's not a fit, then you can just kind of move on it and go your separate ways.
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's just all on him, I would believe. You know what I mean? If he thinks that this is a good fit for him, he's going to show it for sure. So that's good enough time, 10 days, to see if that's going to work. If it can gel, if it can make sense, if he's coming in healthy, he's definitely going to play within those 10 days for sure. So the team, I would think, needs him. But at the same time, does he need the team? You know what I mean? So it's a lot of questions involved with these little 10 days, you know. But it's going to be something that we're going to get something out of for sure at the end of the day.
Yeah, like you said, in the short term at least, you know, with Ibaka seeming like he's going to be out a little while longer, there is that need for another big man. So there'll be some opportunity for Cousins. So that'll be really interesting to see, you know, when he does come aboard, what that looks like and, you know, what kind of minutes he could potentially get. And that then leads into what I was, you know, alluding to before, playoff rotation. When it's all said and done, if this team gets fully healthy, like we hope they do, there's a lot of guys who have proven themselves worthy. But we know in the playoffs, rotations usually shrink. You know, it could be 8 guys, could be 9 or 10, but it's definitely not going to be a, you know, a 12-man rotation. So come playoff time, who gets those minutes for you? And we know the key guys that will definitely 100% get minutes. It's obviously Kawhi, Paul George, and Marcus Morris. You know, you throw Zubats and Ibaka in there. And then from there, a lot of the, you know, the point guard, backup guard spots are the ones that are really in play, where you have,
yeah,
you know, Beverly, who you would think would play if he's healthy. Of course, there's Terrence Mann in there. There's Kennard. Mm-hmm. Reggie Jackson has been great. Rondo, of course, was just added. Yeah. You know, all of those guys are not going to get minutes. So in your eyes, who do you see being the guys in the playoff rotation? Does it depend on the matchup? Or how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I think it definitely does depend on the matchup for sure. But, you know, I think Nicholas Batum, I would stamp him right then and there. You know what I mean? Besides the guys that, you know, that generally going to play, Nicholas Batum is definitely here to play playoff minutes. You know, nothing shy of that at all. And they can probably be just, you know, resting him, his legs right now, or whatever the case may be, just pulling him off and see if he can actually play, you know, off the bench. They're trying to figure that out. But the time is now for that, for sure. But we know Nicholas Batum is definitely geared up and ready to play for playoff minutes. Patrick Beverley, we know his drive and his demeanor, but sometimes it's always not good. The chaoticness as far as the spontaneous of what you're going to get, you know, he's actually been evolving into a really great player offensively throughout his career. But I think now it's one of those things where you got to really put something together that's going to gel and make sense for this team. So he's going to have minutes that's probably diminished as far as in playoffs. I can see that happening for sure. All the way down, I probably would start Reggie Jackson as the point guard. You know, that would probably be my number one goal. Knowing that Rondo is a caliber player that can play an all-star talent-wise for you in the playoffs, I would probably play Rajon Rondo off the bench and put Reggie as a starting point guard. The list goes on, though. Luke is definitely one guy that can definitely play in the playoff. But it depends, you know what I mean? He's timid, and sometimes he's been playing really good right now, though, which is amazing. I think he heard us talking about his contract on the podcast. But for the most part, though, I think he's going to be hitting some big shots for us later on in the playoffs for sure.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out, because, like you said, we've seen all of these guys are capable. And like we said, maybe it depends on the matchup. And I think one thing, at least fortunately for the Clippers, is we've seen whoever it is kind of be ready at any moment, which is not always an easy thing to do. But it might be a situation where, like you said, say if Beverly and Rondo are getting the bulk of the point guard minutes, you know, can Reggie Jackson, if they need, come in for a 5-minute stretch and perform? Can Luke Kennard come in for a 5-10-minute stretch and perform? I think they're going to need all of them at some point, but series to series, it might vary depending on who you're playing. If you need more of a defensive look, if you need more shooting, at least, you know, it's a good problem to have that many options and versatility. It's just going to be one that, you know, Ty Lue will have to deal with in the locker room.
When it comes down to it, for sure.
Yeah.
It just works on the defense end more than anything, as far as what you're going to get, as far as the solidness of the defense, you know. And these guys that are playing defense now, if they continue to do that, they're going to see some window opening for them to get in that into the playoff role.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it'll be, as we said, we know it'll be interesting, but defensively, what the best look is, I think we know that, of course, Kawhi, Paul George, Marcus Morris, and then you have either, like you said, Batum, Zubats, Ibaka, one of those, and then at the point guard spot, there's great versatility there with, you could go big with Terrence Mann, you could go with a great defender in Beverly, with a, you know, when he's locked in, a great defender in Rondo, so, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if Rondo was playing a lot of the crunch time, if he proves to be what we, you know, what we've seen in past playoff performances, but it'll be good that there's other options out there. You know, if someone's struggling, you have a large portion of players to choose from in any given game.
Which, when you think that would probably be a little tough situation for Tyronn Lue to actually put the pieces together to make it gel, though, right? I would think so. You got a task for sure.
Yeah, 100%, and especially with all the injuries. That's why, I mean, of course, sooner rather than later, you'd like to be healthy, but just in terms of him kind of figuring out those rotations with, you know, a couple of new guys in there as well, you know, you still have to find some comfort level with these guys who haven't played in a long time. You want to have them get the rhythm back. You want to have your rotations right. So, you know, the longer that guys are out, the tougher that'll be on Tyronn Lue. So hopefully, you know, sometime here in early April, they're able to get into it and get themselves healthy and at least somewhat whole. So they can start to kind of play with what they think those rotations are going to be.
For sure.
All right, we know that the Clippers are on this 9-game homestand. Mentioned they suffered their first loss in the homestand against the Magic, but the rest of the homestand is filled with teams that are right there with them in contention or in the standings, in the conference. It's a lot of teams that are in the fold for the Clippers. They play the Nuggets tomorrow night, which should be a great one. They have the Lakers on Sunday. It looks like the Lakers will still be without LeBron and AD, but they did, of course, add Andre Drummond, so that should be an interesting subplot there. And you got the Blazers and the Suns, and then a couple of the worst teams in the league with the Rockets and the Pistons to close out that homestand. But a lot of really good teams and big tests for the Clippers. We mentioned they've been playing well. It'll be interesting to see if they can keep that up against, you know, some of their premier opponents coming up.
Yeah, you got some high volatile games and some, you know what I mean, some games that you definitely should be winning. So the mixture of those games, it really determines your outcome of how you play and what you bring to the table, for sure. If you can keep that at a smooth level basis as far as the drive, the energy and stuff like that and how you move in that direction, I think that's more of a weapon to have at that point. We got to see what we're going to bring as far as the Clippers more than anything. Yeah.
A lot of these games are exciting for many different reasons. Of course, the Clippers have already won a game versus the Nuggets this year, but you know, that one I think still resonates for the Clippers because of what happened in the playoffs last year. And then, you know, it's always an exciting game when it's Clippers Lakers, the Blazers. We know that, you know, they've been red hot. And of course the Lillard Clippers thing has been fun for a while. And then the Phoenix game, which, you know, I don't know if we would have thought coming into the year, but right now Clippers are in the 3 spot, just right behind Phoenix, who's in the 2 spot. That could right there be a big determining game for, you know, who gets a higher seed in the playoffs. So I think that one is another one to circle on the calendar as well.
True. Yeah, got to get these guys. Suns is playing really good, man. They playing really good. These are teams back in the day where you just roll over. Now these guys are like really playing at a high level for sure. Chris Paul is playing amazing.
Yeah, it's not foreign to Clippers fans to see Chris Paul make an immediate impact, but he's doing it. So, you know, those are games that are big, and I think, like we said, hopefully in these next couple of games we at least get to see the return of some people. It seems like Beverly and Rondo are close. Hopefully, you know, Ibaka, Paul George, those guys are back as well. We can see them look somewhat whole and then kind of get a better gauge of what they have going forward. But, you know, if they keep playing like they have in this past 6-7 game stretch, I think there's a lot of reason for optimism and confidence for them going forward.
100%. Yep.
All right, cool. Well,
Clipper Nation, baby.
Yes, sir. That is going to do it for this week's episode. We want to let you know, if you enjoy the show, find us anywhere you get your podcast, but rate us on Apple 5 stars, and follow along my man Alex Acker on both Instagram and Twitter @AckRight. And we will keep this thing rolling with, as we said, a lot of big time games coming up, so we'll break that all down in future episodes. But Alex, good stuff as always, and we'll keep it going next week.
Always. Let's go, baby, for sure.
So that's it. Thanks for listening on the Bleed Podcast Network, LA's number one sports podcast network, and the only place for the show for every team in LA and more. We believe in our LA teams. Do you believe? Go Clips.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.